Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Steve Paisley. Jordahl, good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
So, what's going on in your world?
I cooked some chili over the weekend. It was a double chocolate chili. You ever had chocolate chili?
That sounds. We were talking about say, that. Sounds disgusting.
That's actually repulsive.
It is. It's not a lot of chocolate. It's a regular chili, and it's just like a couple tablespoons of chocolate. Well, this had a couple tablespoons of chocolate, like cocoa powder, unsweetened, and then some bittersweet chocolate.
So all it does is just sweeten it. Can you taste the chocolate?
You can't taste it as chocolate, but it does give this really cool,
okay. Well, that's cool, different. I envisioned.
Like
Hershey's
hot
chili.
Fudge.
Hershey's chili.
No. Hot fudge on the top.
No. And I was saying, you would agree with me, that's...
Oh, no, that's repulsive.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, before I came to the South, I'd never heard of chocolate gravy, so I get that.
I hadn't either before I came down South.
Yeah.
Now, we got a lot of listeners in Southern states, and they probably think even more so, boy, didn't like that Ed Vitagliano.
I've never done... once or twice, chocolate first thing in the morning is just not something for me.
Well, unless you're 10 years old and you're eating Count Chocula or something like that.
Well, that's true. But I'm talking about chocolate gravy. I'd rather have just...
Oh, for other
biscuits,
have
just what do you call it? White gravy.
Sausage gravy.
Yeah.
Now, I had never heard of that either.
Really?
Until I came down South.
Brown gravy, is that the only...
No, we didn't have... Gravy was never a part of breakfast.
Not a breakfast. Yeah, right.
But
right.
Now that sausage gravy, listen, whatever
sausage
I have to
gravy
do to be
biscuit?
in the club, I'm in the club on the sausage gravy.
You know what?
Amazing.
I think I might make some more chocolate chili and bring a bowl in for each of you.
Okay, well, how about one of those little, what do they call those little cups? The little small cups, ramekin.
Okay.
I'll try a ramekin full.
Or for me.
Yeah. What's a ramekin?
A ramekin, those like, little things you
like an animal?
No. No.
Huh? Did people go ramekin hunting?
No.
I think
a ramekin is
snipe,
a small little
bunny.
Sheep thing. It's a very small ram.
No, a ramekin is those little small things like you put ketchup in with fries, you dip it. It's a little small little bowl.
Yeah. Like I call it small bowl, but anyway.
Okay.
Ramekin.
There's an official name for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, famous chefs like Steve and I, we we know whether. I guarantee most of the ladies listening know what a ramekin is.
Yeah. Nothing
but
that's
like funny, a little animal. That
nothing like a lazy Susan, right?
A lazy Susan, right?
You know what that is?
Yeah.
Although I don't know that we use that term anymore, but yeah,
I've never had one, but I know what they are.
Your wife is the opposite of a lazy Susan. Miss Allison
duly noted,
one of the workingest people.
No, she's like,
especially in the yard.
Allison is like the Energizer Bunny on steroids.
Yes.
You know.
All right.
But she doesn't take steroids. I just want to make sure.
Yes.
Clear about that.
Right.
She doesn't need them.
She's not like Russian women in the Olympics.
Russian.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh? You know the Russian women in the Olympics?
Oh yeah.
You're telling me they don't take steroids?
They were the first trans women.
I was just gonna say that. It's the first.
I think those were men.
East Germany had that thing down, didn't they?
Evening wear. There was a famous commercial. You remember that? I forget. I didn't remember what it was advertising, but they had the same woman coming out, and it was like an East German athlete and evening wear. And anyway, it was funny.
We're going
East
to
German
dominate the sprints this year.
Those East German women were pumping more iron than American men back in the day.
That's right. Huh? And they were an attractive lot, let me tell you. All right, I'm sorry. I'll do this for the whole half an hour here.
No, there were no Christie Brinkleys in that bunch.
No, that's right. That's right.
All right, Steve, go ahead.
All right.
Recover us.
Okay. We have heard from the Catholic Church. Pope Francis has formally approved allowing priests to bless same-sex couples. Now, he had brought this out. He had been asked by his cardinals back in October about this, and he said this in a letter to them, but this is the actual doctrinal arm of the church. So this is now a new doctrine. They can bless same-sex marriage as long as they don't confuse the ritual with the sacrament of marriage. There are different rules they're saying. This is what I find really interesting.
He's splitting hairs on blessings.
This is what you call stepping stones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Baby steps first. This is sickening. Go ahead.
What he's saying is that, this is a quote, ultimately, a blessing offers people a means to increase their trust in God. The request for a blessing thus expresses and nurtures openness to the transcendence, mercy, and closeness to God in 1,000 concrete circumstances of life. So I guess if you sin, they'll bless it and you can get close to God. This is new to me. This is the new theology. Maybe why I'm not Catholic.
Did the Vatican release this statement?
Yes. A new doctrine, yes.
A new doctrine.
It is a change in doctrinal. Yes, it's in.
It doesn't. There's a
Catholic doctrine.
A conglomeration. I can't think of a better word of Catholic doctrine. Official Catholic doctrine, which is in the Magisterium. Okay, I don't think this changes the Magisterium, but this is the doctrine department for the Catholic Church. If I remember right, lays out procedures for priests. So to Steve's point, this is a very serious turn away from biblical truth on the part of the Catholic Church, because what they have done, all right?
Is this the Pope alone?
This is now the Catholic Church.
Well, the Pope has...
Who made this decision?
I'm pretty sure it was Pope Francis. I think there's probably a lot of supporters in the Catholic Church who favor homosexuality, because frankly, what I've read, homosexuality has infiltrated a lot of the leadership positions of the Catholic Church. But here's what's so sinister about what the Pope has announced, that if you sin purposefully and willfully in a way like committing adultery or fornication, it's called a mortal sin, which in the Catholic Church means you are
there.
It'll send you to hell. And what they're doing with this change is giving a blessing of the Catholic Church on a homosexual relationship in which people are committing mortal sins. And the Church has now said that's okay. This is a huge step away from...
It is. This is the quote that I was actually looking for from Pope Francis. He says, he insists that people seeking God's love and mercy shouldn't be subject to an exhaustive moral analysis to receive it. First of all, how exhaustive do you have to be to analyze whether a same-sex relationship is moral or not?
Yeah, exactly right. Here's part of what the Declaration says. The grace of God. Now, this, you're talking about doublespeak. And by the way, for our Catholic listeners, this same kind of nonsense is going on in the United Methodist Church. It's already taken over the Episcopal Church, and so on and so forth. But here's what this document states. The grace of God works in the lives of those who do not claim to be righteous, but who acknowledge themselves humbly as sinners like everyone else, close quote. In other words, you humbly acknowledge yourself as a sinner and then keep right on sinning.
Yeah.
That is a horrific take.
Kind of like Martin Luther decided he wanted to post his thesis because of the, what are they called, indulgences?
Indulgences, yeah. So this is, I wanted us to mention this because this is a huge step away from what's called the Magisterium for the Catholic Church.
So what do you do about that? If you're a Roman Catholic, faithful Roman Catholic, and your Pope is embracing sin, do you leave the church?
I don't think you
leave a mutiny to get the Pope kicked out? What do you do?
I don't know.
Is it any different than a Protestant deciding to leave the Episcopal denomination and become Southern Baptist?
If you're nowhere else to go. If you are a real Catholic, there is no leaving the Catholic Church. Now, I've talked to Catholics about this Pope. This Pope is a big concern to a lot of faithful Catholics. And what they say is the Catholic Church has been around for 2,000 years. We've had popes who were homosexual, and the church has survived, will survive this guy. But I don't know how permanent this kind of change will become for the Catholic Church, or whether the next pope will repeal it. I don't know. I'm not Catholic.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that process works.
So I'm going to tell you something that's not serious, but it is funny.
Okay.
One of my best friends is Catholic, and we golf some.
Yeah.
So if I want to throw him off.
Get him off his game?
Get him off his game. If he's, like, beating me.
Yeah.
Then I just start talking about the Pope. And his blood pressure goes up, and
he starts to hook.
Then that's all he wants to talk about. I'm talking about
he hadn't figured this out.
He doesn't like the Pope.
No, that's right.
At all, for reasons like this. He's
guy's a Marxist.
Yeah,
this Pope, not your friend.
Not my friend.
I know you're talking about.
My friend is I guess you'd call him a true Catholic.
Yeah.
I
know what you're talking about. He loves Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, loves the Lord.
Yep.
Yeah. Good. But I just bring up the Pope, man. You talk about slicing the ball into the lake. I get about three of those.
And he hasn't figured out that this is part of your tactics.
Yeah, he knows it, but there's nothing to do about it. Because when I bring it up, he can't
lay off it.
You can talk about being triggered.
Yeah.
That triggers him.
It's like you can't lay off a curveball when you're at the plate.
Exactly.
So I guess the new answer to the question is the Pope Catholic is maybe not so much.
Well, listen.
To your point, Ed, this worldliness is challenging Christianity at all levels.
Yes.
I guess you could say.
Right.
And these churches, by the way, the United Methodist Church, of which I grew up, in that denomination, a Protestant denomination, second largest Protestant denomination in the United States after the Southern Baptist Convention. I know there's some Southern Baptists who say we're not Protestant. We're anyway.
Yeah.
From non-Catholic. Anabaptist. How about that? Does that make everybody happy? Huh? So the United Methodist, they're undergoing a split over this whole issue, which is a healthy thing. And was you telling me this morning that Steve?
I'm familiar with it.
Okay, so as of now, 25%. 25%. This was the report we got this morning at our news at our show prep meeting. Of United Methodist churches have officially left the denomination over the embracement of LGBTQ by the United Methodist Church, and these 25% of the churches said we're not going to part from Scripture. Scripture's clear on their teaching about human sexuality, and we're not embracing sin. So we're leaving. So they're having to pay cash, these churches that are leaving, to the denomination to be able to have their land and their buildings.
And for some of them, it's a hefty price tag. I know.
Yeah.
I know people whose churches, you do too.
Yeah.
Whose churches have done this, but it was worth it to them.
Yeah, it was worth it to them. You know, you might say, "Well, why do they have to pay the denomination?" Well, because when you affiliate with a denomination, that's part of the deal. The denomination owns your property
in your building. Case.
Huh? Your property and your building. That's probably true of other denominations, I'm sure.
Not Southern Baptist, but. Yes.
Yeah, the Southern Baptists would be autonomous. The churches are autonomous in that way. But see, in the United Methodist Church, like some of these other denominations, you have
Episcopalians through this.
You have bishops. You have a church hierarchy. You have programs that they sponsor and so forth and so on. So,
I even heard of I think it was a Methodist church. Maybe it was a Episcopal church on the East Coast. It was an older church, been around since before the United Methodist became a denomination, and they joined the United Methodist denomination back in the day. They decided they want out, and they couldn't have their church back.
Well, the United Methodist Church was formed, I think, in the 60s, early 60s, maybe, mm-hmm. by the merging of the United Brethren and then the Methodist, thus the name.
United Methodist.
those two denominations merged, thus creating the United Methodist Church.
So,
all right, go ahead, Steve.
There has been a this has been rising in the United Methodist Church for a while now, and the United Methodist Church decided that they were going to have a 5-year period of grace of some sort, where
decide whether you're going to stay or go. Right,
you have 5 years. If you get out, in that 5 years, it's either you get to keep your property outright or you pay a lot less for it. Anyway, that is coming to an end. January 1, that's over.
Yeah.
And they have lost over 7,000 congregations in total. 7,600 congregations. This year alone, 5,600. A lot of these churches are going to the Global Methodist
Church.
Yeah, it's a new version. Well, it's kind of what the Episcopals did when they left the Episcopal Church and they went to the Anglican Church, which globally, the Episcopal Church, the Anglican Church, is very conservative. Globally, the Methodist Church, you go to Africa or you go somewhere else, very conservative. It's just in the United States and maybe certain parts of Europe that they've kind of gone off the rails.
Yeah, it goes in line with all the woke stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, next story, Steve.
All right. You know that we've been putting a lot of eggs into our global warming basket in this country. A lot of things that we're trying to do that the government is mandating about zero carbon emissions, how you're going to, you know, have to buy electric vehicles, don't use your gas stove. And so
in California, they're banning gasoline operated lawnmowers.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, all the stuff, the leaf blowers, all of it.
So according to the experts that I talked to, and a lot of scientists, some of whom aren't willing to stick their head up out of the foxhole, say that this whole global warming hysteria is a hoax. There's no climate crisis. That we're not running out of room. We're not using so many resources that we're not going to be able to replace them. The world is not flooding. All the major weather events we've been seeing are not out of line with historical dips and raises.
The polar bear population
still good.
Is growing.
Yeah. But there is a group, a nonprofit in this country called the Energy Foundation. It's headquartered in San Francisco, but they are finding out, Fox News did a review and determined that the majority of its operations are conducted in China and that they have received about $3.8 million from China. Now, China is nowhere close to being even remotely interested in doing anything to battle this supposed crisis, but they're certainly encouraging us to, because this will lead to the economic ruin of this country if we put in the new green energy bill or whatever. If we go down this and do everything that the government wants us to do, that's a hit to this economy that is devastating. And China's all for that.
Well, if you remember when the U.S. Was in competition with the USSR, Ronald Reagan was captain of the ship, so to speak. A lot of historians will put forth the idea that Ronald Reagan, his policies regarding military buildup with our superior economic strength was one of the major factors in the collapse of the USSR. Mm-hmm. The USSR could not keep up with our economic power, which was producing so much in terms of wealth that we were able to do whatever we wanted in terms of research and development and buying new weapons and aircraft carriers. I wouldn't be surprised, Steve, if what you're saying is exactly right, that China, although they have a very robust economy, they know that part of the strategy in weakening the U.S. would be to promote this ideology, this some call it a religion, this global climate change religion, promote it so that it weakens us.
Yeah.
Preventing us from keeping up with China.
Not like we're not doing that to ourselves already, but China's kind of pushing us over the cliff, sure. It seems. So, and speaking of the danger of that, you guys see that every branch of the military is missing its recruitment goals except for the Marines and the Space Force.
I've been seeing that. It is really unnerving.
Yeah.
To see our military and not only not meeting its recruitment goals, but also changing its recruitment criteria.
And still can't meet its recruitment goals.
Can.
Yeah, according to the Daily Mail, the U.S. is entering this next year with its smallest military in more than 80 years. They can't quite get Gen Z to cooperate to figure out. They said several decades ago, 25%, only 25% of young people never considered or would not consider going into the military. And now that's well over 50%. More than, yeah.
And some of those who are in the military mm-hmm. complain a lot. They're not allowed to use TikTok. The food's lousy. The hours are long. I don't know.
I saw the story on that, and there was a lot of open criticism by people inside the military who were of younger, you know, I don't know what they call them, generation.
Gen Y? Gen Z? Gen Z,
18 to 24, 25-year-olds?
Yeah, Gen privileged.
Let me just say what I always try to say when we do talk about millennials or Gen Z. I want to say we have a lot of outstanding millennials here at AFA, Gen Z, younger people.
Yeah.
There are a lot of my son is, I guess, would be considered a millennial. There are plenty of fine young people. So, folks, please don't take this as a criticism across the board. Mm-hmm. We're only talking about some of the trends that seem to be happening amongst those two younger groups. And really, like every other age category, they need Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's all right. I'm going to
say
about
that. But you
know
what? This is very alarming, this decline in two things. One is the sheer numbers of our military services are the front line of defending our country around the world,
right,
and our national interest around the world, right?
Right.
And we have for 100 years been the mightiest military force on the planet. That's in jeopardy because we don't have enough Americans that want to serve in the military anymore, and our military is not meeting their recruiting goals, and this is happening over and over and over, and by over and over, I mean annually now, right?
Yeah, and some of this, by the way, is it's not just because Gen Z doesn't want to serve. There are traditional military families
yeah.
that no longer want to take part in the military because of all the woke garbage that's going on.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That, I mean, you're going to tell these traditional conservative military families, you're right, who have multi-generational service, and then you tell them you got to go on a submarine with a dude dressed up like a woman,
right?
And you got to be happy with it or you're a bigot. They're going to say, no, I'm not doing that.
And don't forget the thousands that got bounced because they didn't want to take
the COVID shot. No, you're right. Absolutely. So it's a problem of their own making. I'm talking about the military. But at the same time, that doesn't answer the question of what are we going to do?
Right.
What are we going to do? And when does this show up on the battlefield, so to speak?
That's right.
All right, Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
Steve Paisley, Jornall. And my thanks to Ed.
Absolutely.
No celery in the spaghetti sauce, Tagliano. No celery required.
Right.
I think that's what you
yes.
were saying. Yeah. All right. Have a great day, everybody. Keep listening to AFR. We'll see you back here tomorrow.